Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine, your show host. You know, when my son was in elementary school, I learned something really interesting that I really have never forgotten, and I apply it quite often. And it's about perfection and the beauty of imperfection. So I was there one day, and his teacher explained that the Navajo people always leave an imperfection in the handmade blankets and rugs that they make, that they weave. And so I looked into the Navajo tradition, and I learned that the imperfection is called the spirit path or spirit line. The spirit path is an outlet or road that gives the energy and spirit of the textile freedom to roam. In this way, the artist has an outlet for creative inspiration to continue weaving other pieces. And the Navajo word for this is shinibitan. And the Navajo pottery artists also include an imperfection in their work. They create circles around their pottery, but they never connect the ends because they believe that a perfect circle will trap the spirit inside the container. And also, African American slaves had a tradition that was very similar to the Navajos. They put a flaw in every quilt they made because they believed that perfect quilts were unlucky. The quilt imperfections were made, they were meant to ward off the devil while they slept each night. So today we're going to be talking about inner beauty and appreciating our inner beauty, and finding the gift of our inner beauty in everything that we do. And we're going to be talking today with Coach Angela Howell. Angela is the creator of A Life Worth Having, a 10-module coaching program she developed to help more people experience true self-fulfillment. Committed to advancing eating disorder awareness, Angela is a facilitator for the Body Project. And since 2007, she has served on the Speakers Bureau at the Eating Disorders Coalition of Tennessee. And her journey resulted in called Finding the Gift, Daily Meditations for Mindfulness. So today we're going to talk with her, and we're going to hear her story and hear her inspiration about inner beauty. So let me introduce her. Good morning, Angela. How are you?
Hi, Randy. I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be on your show. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you. I think it's important to start off with your story to personal freedom. Can you tell us what how that all began?
Sure. It's always kind of hard to say all of that in just a couple of minutes. But where it began is just coming, as many of us do, from an imperfect home. There was a lot of chaos and ultimately a pretty nasty divorce and trauma to me personally. And out of that, I shrunk into a very small person and wanted to be as invisible as possible and not to cause any more trouble and not to attract any more trouble. So I lived in that very small place, but with the chaos that continued, I looked for things that I could feel a sense of control about, and that's how my eating disorder developed. A lot of people start off with a diet, and that results in an eating disorder. For me, it started as chaos, and then the chaos I turned to an obsession over my body just as a result to escape, you know, what was going on around me. And my eating disorder really also became a way for me to manifest the rage that I was feeling that wasn't acceptable to express, you know, in a more common way. So my journey began like that, and ultimately my eating disorder grew so out of control, even though I had the illusion of control, that my path to freedom began as I sought to regain freedom from my eating disorder.
Wow, what a journey. And I, you know, I would imagine that the insight that you're giving us right now came after the fact, that while you were doing it, you probably didn't really know why you were doing it. Is that correct? Is that right?
Oh, 100% correct. I really thought it was about, I really believed that, a couple of things, that money would solve all problems, and that being thin and having someone to love you, those three things were my agenda. Get thin, get rich, get love. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any other insight. Those were my profound insights at, say, 15 to 17 years old.
Wow. And then at some point you had a serious work injury and you were disabled after that, right?
Yes, I did finally overcome the battle with anorexia and bulimia after several hospitalizations, and I met the man that you know, I did marry, and in the hospitalizations, those attempts were my way to say, I'm not ready to die, but until I was really ready to live, I did not get better. So I'd met the man that I married and was ready to live, and so I got well with my eating disorder, and it wasn't just like that. It was still a long journey. But I got into corporate sales and had a very wonderful career. And to be honest, again, I didn't have the insight at the time, but all I did was switch from an eating disorder to workaholism. And workaholism and achievement at work became my new way to feel good about myself. I still did not have the inner healing to be able to validate my own existence, to say that, you know, I'm a good person. I needed all these external affirmations. So in my career, I had to be the best, number one in anything, you know, salesperson of the month, the year, the quarter, win this trip, you know. But after 12 years, even before that, I started feeling like this is empty. All this money, all this recognition, you know, even having the man of my dreams, and being, you know, I just with my gene type, I tend to stay fairly, you know, thin. So I had those three things that I set out to have, but I didn't feel happy. And I had an opportunity to leave corporate sales and pursue another path, which I did briefly after 9/11. But then life changed, and I needed financial security again, and I went right back to where I was. And in no time at all, I started having physical symptoms, neurological symptoms and joint pain and that sort of thing. I went to numerous doctors. No one could figure it out. And they took me off work. I got better completely, put me back to work. It all came back. So it's kind of ironic now, because once again, when you're in it, maybe you don't have the insight, but now I can see it, I clearly was not meant to be on that work path. And in this case, I needed some gentle shoving out of the nest since the first attempt didn't stick. So yeah, I ended up being disabled from my work. I got to a point where I could barely lift my arms, and had to look at, okay, now what do I do? Because this is all I knew.
You know, you said that you needed a gentle shoving out of the nest. Yeah, you know, I think that happens to so many people, and it's not always so gentle. Sometimes it's quite aggressive, and it throws us for a loop. And we wonder why this is happening to us. And then a year down the road, we know there's something better. So that's a really, really good comment. Yeah, it's a really
good
comment.
And the gentle, I said that very lightly because it was.
Yes,
it was,
exactly.
I say my life was ending. I mean, I literally could barely brush my teeth, let alone do anything else with my arms. It's like my wings were clipped. And my way to worse was through my job. So much was ending. And I didn't know what my worth was going to be or what my use was going to be in the world. And, you know, so it was a big deal. But in the midst of all that chaos, a few things started to happen that I didn't know at the time was shaping my path for the future. And looking back now, I see it all so clearly. But, yes, it was a life interruptus for sure.
Another comment that you made was about the need for external validation. And when we grow up in families that are abusive, chaotic, seriously dysfunctional, often we don't learn to internally validate. And I think many of us have that problem because we wonder why we need this and we need that. We need money. We need people. We need boyfriends. We need girlfriends. We need friends. We can't go shopping alone. We don't even know if the clothes we're trying on look right. And that's because we're so reliant on external validation. And the goal is to create that inner experience of self-love and self-validation, self-worth, self-esteem. And from that point, we jump off into everything else positive in our lives, right?
Yes. Yes, definitely. I it's been a long time, and it still is a journey. When you're wired that way, I catch myself still realizing that my soul is crying out not for anyone else to validate me, but for me to validate me. And it's amazing when I do, my soul is soothed. And I had the ability to do that all the time. It was always there. And it is always there, but I can easily forget.
So how do you define inner beauty? What is inner beauty?
Inner beauty to me is recognizing the unique spark that makes me, me, and that makes someone else, someone else. And it's both beautiful. And no one else has the same inner beauty that I have. It's almost a celebration of what makes me unique. My inclinations, my curiosities, my passions, those, just the way that I show up in the world and love myself, and then I'm able to love others. To me, that's a true sense of inner beauty as opposed to just polishing an outer, you know, facade.
So if we don't have the insight or perspective to see that in ourselves, how do we go about finding that?
Well, I think it's definitely a lifelong journey. I wish it was take this 12-week course and you will have inner beauty or your sense of inner beauty for the rest of your life. But all the pieces just coming together like a huge puzzle that isn't solved until our last breath. So I think it's just it's an ongoing journey. And for me, that looks like seminars that I've attended, many, many books that I've read, good shows like this one that I've listened to, just gathering nuggets everywhere I can that create those aha moments. You know, we might read a whole book, but there may be one thing that actually sticks to us. And it's the collection of those things that stick that help solidify who we feel we are as human beings and how we define our inner beauty and how we grow confident that we bring value to this world in a way that no one else can. But it's definitely not an overnight happening, I don't think. Do you?
Oh, no. No, it's a constant. Yeah. You know, I think you can get to a level of where it's functioning well in your life, where you're functioning
sure.
well in your life as a result of achieving quite a bit. But I know for me, you know, that was a long, arduous journey. But there are times where I have to remind myself little things, little messages. Okay, you're not weird, everybody. You know, people don't think you're weird, you know, or doesn't matter if you look perfect today or things like that. You know, just little messages that I have to remind myself because they're so deeply built in.
Yes.
But I am able now to catch myself and to override those thoughts and put in more positive thoughts that work for me and release me from the binds of that kind of prison, really. It is kind of a prison to be stuck like that.
It is. And
yeah.
The longer that we practice this, the shorter the time we stay in a downward spiral, like what
True.
You're talking about, because I'm the same way. I will still catch myself where I'm in a place of doubt or insecurity, and then, oh, yeah, wait, I don't have to listen to that. What voice is that? And then let my authentic true self, the knowing self, remind myself who I am and what the truth is, and I can come out of those negative spirals faster, but it doesn't mean they don't happen.
You know, it's interesting that in different countries, there's different beauty has different value. There are some countries where heavy women are valued and thought of as beautiful, sometimes because weight equals wealth, and so to be heavier
mm-hmm.
is to be wealthier. And if you think about some of the African tribes, you know, that we see like on National Geographic where they put these things in their lips and around their neck and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
and we think, oh, how weird, you know. But to their
mm-hmm.
tribe, that's beautiful. So there is no norm for beauty, is there?
It's no, and it's so funny that you're saying all that. I recently did a talk on inner beauty. And it's actually how we connect, because I had seen one of your quotes that was so profound that I ended up using in my talk. I'll see if I can find it while I'm chatting. But I brought out some of the cultural differences in beauty. And one of the things where I grew up feeling so ugly was because I had gapped teeth. And my I had a brother that was just, you know, 15 months older than me. And so, you know, we were always at each other's throat, and he would rag me incessantly about my gap teeth, and I just felt I couldn't feel more uglier as a 9-year-old. And then, so in doing research for this talk, I found that in France, gap teeth are, they have a saying for it. Let me see if I can remember. I may say this wrong, le dent du bonheur or something like that. And it means they believe people with gap teeth will have good luck their whole life. And in Africa, I found that gap teeth are a sign of beauty and prosperity. And yet in North America, we often view them as a cosmetic problem to be corrected. But in looking now, I can see Madonna, Lauren Hutton, and other people didn't get that memo that they should be ashamed of their teeth. And they, you know, bared their famous smiles with pride.
That's true. And I remember back when Lauren Hutton was beginning her modeling career, she had a gap in her tooth and they made her wear something to cover it up. And now, Mick Jagger's daughter all over the internet. I mean, all over the media. Beautiful girl with a space that you could drive a truck through, you know.
Yes.
And that's considered that's considered beauty. So
absolutely.
So
and here
things change.
Myself, I'd wear rubber bands around my teeth all the time, and it would be painful. And I was trying to get them back. I mean, we couldn't afford braces, and I love seeing. And that to me, even though that's an outer quality, to me it's reflecting an inner beauty that says, "This is me, and I'm okay, and I like this. I like this about me. This makes me unique. This is part of me." So I love seeing that. And the more we all as women and as human beings can embrace our uniqueness, no matter what anybody else thinks about it, we're giving other people permission to embrace theirs, something they may have thought was a weakness or you know, something deemed ugly by society. It's so funny. If we carry that sense of beauty, others see us differently. Another thing that I shared in my recent talk on this was I did used to model, and I had won some spot in a regional modeling contest, and I didn't win, but I was able to talk to the judges afterwards, and I just, you know, in the throes of my eating disorder, and even though I was very thin, I thought I just didn't win because I was fat. And he looked at me, and he just said, you know, to be honest, if it was a beauty pageant, you would have won. But we're looking for somebody with that special spark, that knowing that they're beautiful, not necessarily the most beautiful person. But at that time, I didn't know, how do you get that? How do you get that knowing? And that's what we're talking about here, that sense of inner beauty. is really a feeling inside, a confidence inside.
That's so true. That's so true. Everything that you said. We recently had a convention for Massage Envy, which we own two locations here in South Florida. But we had a convention, and they had the most compelling speaker I have ever heard. And this man had been burned over 75% of his body years ago. Lost all his fingers and toes, and his face had to be reconstructed. But it was definitely the face of someone who had been through a very serious fire. And this man was the most beautiful person you would ever, ever meet in your life. And as he talked, you don't even look at the other things. And you wonder how he got to that point. But if he can get to that point, we all can get to that point.
Definitely.
So,
and you know what? Let me say, I found your quote. And because it goes right with that, the quote that you said was, "Outer beauty is a gift, inner beauty is an accomplishment."
Oh, yes.
And he accomplished inner beauty. He could have just taken his circumstances and bought into, "Oh, my goodness, I'm so disfigured," but he didn't.
No. And he progressed, and he's got friends all over the world, and he's a keynote speaker, and, you know, people just love this guy. So, just goes to show you. So, Angela, you conduct workshops. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do with your coaching with people?
Sure. And right now I speak, and then I do coaching one-on-one. So it can look a couple of different ways. But the foundation of what I bring to people is a program called A Life Worth Having. And it's a culmination of over 30 years of the nuggets, like I was talking about earlier, you know, read a book, one thing sticks out, go to a seminar, listen to, you know, an audio tape or whatever. It's the nuggets that I actually held on to and practiced over and over and still practice today. So there's 10 modules, and someone approached me about coaching yesterday, and they said they weren't looking for a program, just a coach. And fine to just talk, and I can listen to people and reflect back to them, but I have come to know that there are some very foundational things that if those aren't addressed, all the talking in the world isn't going to matter. All of the goal setting, all of the affirmation reciting, those are all good, but if there's some foundational things that are not addressed, the change can't be lasting. And so just to give you an idea, the very first module that I have deals with negative beliefs, the programming, you know, like we've mentioned, that you and I have been on this journey for quite a while, but even so, we still see our old software pop up. And so the first thing that I do when I work with people is let's get all of that software that's playing in the background, let's get it all out on paper. And I work with them in a specific way to start changing the programming, because all of the other 9 modules that I have, if I don't help the client get to a better place with their software programming, none of the rest of my program is going to stick. And so there's just a couple of things that I do. It's pretty simple, but it's pretty profound. I did a talk recently and gave away a 30-minute coaching call, and in 10 minutes we had worked on one, and the lady had this major aha moment. She's like, we don't even have to say anything else. In 10 minutes, this is life-changing. And, you know, it's not rocket science, but it's just having someone help you reshape those tapes that are playing so automatically in the background.
That sounds so wonderful. What are some of the other modules that follow that?
Well, there's 10. So one other thing that I use people to help, so I help people do two things. Where I was at when my life was ending, career was ending, I knew that I was supposed to do something else, but I had no idea what that was. So my coaching program can help people in that place explore what they're here for, what they're passionate for. And so it can be a discovery tool, and a module comes to mind about that, and it's looking at envy. You know, when we're searching for things that we want more of in our life, those things don't come to us as naturally as what we don't want, or in this case, envy. So I ask people to think about, who are the people in your life where you feel a twinge of envy? What is it about their life that they have, or maybe it's a skill that they have? And then I help them work through a few exercises to figure out, envy shows us what we perceive is missing. And so we dissect that a little bit, and then we see, is this something that can be a passion that can be nurtured? Is it a hobby, or is it a career change? So that's just one of the tools. I have people take all limitations off, and if they could dream again, like if they were 9 years old, what do you want to be when you grow up? We have some exercises for that. And then there are some exercises for money. Many of us are exactly where we're at financially because of the beliefs we grew up with and have held on to. And so we dissect that pretty significantly.
Sounds really wonderful. It really does. I like your approach. And I like how you divide that up.
Well, thank you. And then I've just added a big one that I'm constantly editing, but I didn't have what I wanted to see in there for gratitude, perspective shifting, and the big one, forgiveness. So it all
works
together. But if I had someone rewire their software, but they did not let go of hurts and wounds, they will be limited. That those things will hold them back. And so that's kind of a big whammy towards the end. Once we've done a lot of the other stuff, then we look at gratitude and shifting perspective, which is essentially finding the gift. That's what finding the gift is retelling the story in a better way. And then forgiveness. Forgiveness is not for them. It's for us.
Absolutely. What do people do when they're having a hard time accepting who they are fundamentally, and, you know, like a personality type? Like, for instance, someone may be an introvert, and everybody's telling them, get out there, get out there, get out there. But that's not what their natural inclination is. And then they feel very weird, and people think they're weird.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we accept aspects of ourself that are just fundamental parts of who we are?
For me, that immediately goes to my module one work, because the only reason we're feeling weird is because we have adopted the belief that others have had about that quality about us. The quality is the quality. It's neutral. But the beliefs that get attached to it are what churn those feelings of it's not right. And so to me, that's just a great opportunity to take that quality out, strip all the judgment off of it, but look at it all. And then and the way that I have people reconstruct their software programming is not coming up with generic affirmations, but so let's just use the introvert example, that being an introvert is weird. You know, that's a very short one. And so how does that person want to feel about being, you know, so what can we start affirming? An introvert offers unique perspective to the world. And you know, that's just the first phrase that came to my mind, but starting to define new meanings to being an introvert. And when we tell ourselves, our subconscious believes whatever we tell ourselves. It's just a phenomenon to me that I can be sitting here having a bad day, and then I realize it, and I can say, I feel really good. Wow, I'm starting to feel really good. And it's almost like I'm telling the little child inside me, the little child sits up straighter and looks around like, yeah, me too. And it's that rapid if I'm willing to let myself feel better. And so the same thing I believe works with any of these qualities. And that takes repetition, because these other tapes and beliefs have been pounded into us over the years. So we need repetition. And so I write powerful truths out, the anti-venom to these negative things. I read them. I record them on a good day so I can listen to myself telling myself the truth. I call them powerful truths that I want to believe about all of these things. And I do it over and over. I write some of them on index cards. I have them stuck to my mirror. It's a process of just rewiring what we believe about those things.
Yes, and we can overcome so much about our beliefs if we just notice how we're thinking. If we don't let our thoughts take us just blindly in the directions they want to take us, if we gain control over how we're thinking. And that helps us with really everything. We can make so many changes in our life that way. So you have a book called Finding the Gift, Daily Meditations for Mindfulness, which you call a handbook for life. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, sure. I always joke that if it's in that book, it doesn't mean I've mastered it. It means I'm still working on it. And so I like to say, you know, we're all in this together. I am no pro at any of this. Knowledge is one thing. Application is quite another. And so the book came about, ironically, as my life was falling apart with the physical stuff. I started seeing all these metaphors in everyday life lessons and things I'd done or seen 1,000 times before, but on that particular day, I would see a profound, and at first I really thought it was weird. And I also thought everybody else probably sees this too, and I would say, you know, I went to a car wash today and I got this amazing spiritual download. Does that happen to you when you go to a car wash? And they're like, no. And so eventually I thought, I think I'm supposed to write these down. And I had no intentions of writing a book, but they were just so profound to me that I knew I was going to forget them if I didn't write them down. And so I started jotting them down in journals. And over the course of 8 years, I accumulated enough to, you know, put them in a daily reader. And I love daily, you know, meditation books. I have ever since, you know, being introduced to them in early eating disorder recovery. So I wanted to put them all in one beautiful book for me, and I had to stay focused on this is a gift to me, because I couldn't let myself think about, yeah, but if I make this a book and no one likes it, so what? This is for me. And so that's really how it came about, and how I completed the task by ignoring the voices that maybe no one else will want your book. That's okay. I'm making a book if for no one else than for me. And so it's a reading for every single day. It isn't sequential. I kept all of the seasons together. In other words, since it was written over 8 years, some might have been written in January of 2006. some, you know, January of 2008. And so I wanted all the Januaries together because January is a season of incubation, of looking back and looking forward. And I wanted all of the Novembers together because November is kind of two things. It's season, but it's also hustle, bustle, end of the year. And the seasons in nature and in life kind of all correlate together. So rather than having it be like a sequential telling of what happened in my life, you know, from point A to point B, I really wanted to be able to revisit the seasons of life, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does. It absolutely does. And is that book available in paperback and ebook, or what formats is it available in?
Yes, right now it's paperback and ebook. I'm expecting that there will be a gift edition in hardback for holidays, but it's available. There's links on my website at angelahowell.com to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get it in several bookstores locally and a few other states. You know, if I've talked somewhere, then some arrangements have been made with local booksellers. So it's available, and I, you know, would be honored to be on the journey. I've just started a Facebook group for readers because I would get text messages, Facebook posts, where readers would share their insight, but mostly it was to me. And I can't reiterate enough that we're in this together, and the way to grow is to surround yourself with like-minded seekers. So I finally, just early May, put together a Facebook group so that we can discuss, you know, I read today's reading and this really stuck out to me, or this is what I got out of it, because it could be something different than anybody else got. And so that's another way to utilize the reading to build community and to share with one another.
That's wonderful. It's so wonderful that people can communicate with you and comment on these things, that you have a forum for that. And what's the Facebook page called?
I'll tell you the address, but bottom line is you can go to Facebook and just search for Finding the Gift, and
okay,
the group page will pop up. But the official address is facebook.com/groups/findingthegift.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
And I just asked to join. I think right now it's set to public, so everyone can see what's on there, but if you want to be able to comment, then you just ask to join, and you know that will get approved, and we welcome all participation. I've got a couple of readings where we're doing just some minor tweaks. Typos just seem to you know, you can as an author, you continue to find little bitty things, and so now that we have this Facebook group, April 1st is one where we introduce the happy dance. And so now I'm giving bonus points for anybody willing to put their happy dance on video and share it to the group. There's another one. I think it's October something. I forget where it is. But it's, oh, my goodness. So this is one of the reasons I started this group. I have this wonderful lady that came to a talk that I did. She was in a low point in her life. She won't mind me saying this because I'm not saying her name. She's 82. And what I have found is my book is full of all ages, but I hear a lot from people, say, over 70, that, hey, we're not done. We still need to find the gift, too. Our friends are dying, and it's the unique part of life where they need encouragement. And so this 82-year-old woman read one of these entries that said, when is the essence of it is, when's the last time you used your voice? And I encourage people to stand up and shout, because that moves energy, and then, you know, if you feel really bold, do a little dance. And so I got a message, an email from this woman, 82. She said, I did it. I was out on my back deck. I was in my robe, and I don't care what my neighbors thought. I was standing up, woohoo, and dancing around. And she sent me this email. She goes, I'm going to my church group today, and I'm going to encourage all the women to start it. Start doing this. And she wrote me back later. She said, we did it. Here we were in the church, and I and, you know, group of women, we're all just up yelling, woohoo, using our voice. Oh, I love
that's
that
so funny. It's amazing,
yeah,
how a little thing like that can spread and, you know, be so well received. And we forget the little things. So thank you for coming up with that. I mean, that's fantastic.
We're too serious.
We're coming down to the final minutes. How do people reach you?
Well, we mentioned the group on Facebook, and then my website is angelahowell.com. They can send me, there's a contact form there. And finding the gift is hashtagged on almost like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That would be a way to find me. And then on LinkedIn, I'm Angela Howell, author. So I'm pretty much out there, and I would love to connect with my readers because, again, we're in this together.
And what part of the country are you in?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. So for those who want coaching but do not live in your area, do you do it by Skype?
Actually, I do it by phone, so I am able to work with anyone. And even people in Nashville, I still do it by phone. The time goes so fast. And we're, as human beings, if we were to meet, there's always the time of just acclimation to now we're ready to work. And so the phone, I find, just lets you get right in. And so that's how I do it now. I do anticipate launching a more virtual experience because I believe in the power of groups, this whole deal of like-minded people working on a thing together. So that will be coming soon it will be more of a group experience, but still include some individual time with me. That will be in the near future. So anyway, wherever someone is listening to this call, I could work with them.
Perfect. Okay, so listeners, contact Angela, and she will help you through creating a life worth having. When I work with people, that's always the fundamental thing is until you feel good about yourself, nothing else really matters. You cannot apply yourself fully to life until you feel good about yourself. So that is so important. But thank you. It's been wonderful having you. I'm so glad that we connected through the quote, and I'm sure that we will be friends. I love the work that you're doing. And thank you for sharing it with my listeners.
I love what you're doing. Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here today. And you just keep doing all the wonderful things you're doing for people.
Thank you. You know, it's something that is just you're driven to do, and you can't stop because it's so much a part of you. And I know that's how you feel as well. So anyway, thank you so much for being my wonderful guest today. And have a really great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is always RANDIGFINE.com. And I hope you'll come back and join me next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.